بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering a doubts and questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah who is Ar-Rahman.
Allah
who is Al-Mannan.
La ilaha illa.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atar, the host of this program. We have a special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Zain. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Sayyid Zain, for today's discussion, we want to talk about our reaction against those who do oppression to us. You know, sometimes some people do oppression, cruelties, atrocities towards us in life. It could be in real life situations. It could be, for example, in political life and the social life at individual level or societal level. How should we react? How should our reaction must be towards the zulm or oppression of a person in our life?
Alhamdulillah, minashaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. So we'd have to look at what kind of oppression it is, who is doing it. It's very circumstance dependent, the answer to it. So inshallah, we can talk about some general things, I think every situation is different.
Yes.
And every situation, a person would have to look at the circumstances, perhaps seek advice as well from the scholars. What should I do in this circumstance? Should I take a stand? Should I not take a stand?
Yes.
So it is circumstance dependent.
Yes.
So it's one general answer would be difficult to give.
Mm-hmm.
But the general attitude that we should have towards regular people doing regular kind of zulm. By regular kind of zulm, I mean like, you know, somebody, you know,
not being unjust to us, for example. Yes.
Like, you know, like overtaking you in the driving or these kind of things, right?
Yes.
A believer is supposed to be very soft towards believers, mm-hmm. right? Gentle towards believers. If bad and evil reaches them from other believers, then they're supposed to be forgiving. They overlook the faults.
Yes, helm.
Yeah. In general, for personal oppression to a person, you know, a person himself, this is the general attitude that we're supposed to have towards the believers.
The patience, yes.
Patience.
Okay.
And overlooking their faults, overlooking their sins. Because if you don't do that, right, it becomes very difficult to live with people.
Yes.
If you're not, you know, overlooking and you know, forgiving.
Yes.
Then making strong relationships becomes hard.
Yes.
Right? So in society, that's definitely true.
Yes.
But it plays an even stronger role in families.
Yes.
Right? For example, your spouse or your parents,
children.
Yes. If a person, for every wrong, everything that bad that happens to them from these people, if they take a stand and they say, you know, I will not let this happen, and no matter what, I'm, you know, then they can't generally build strong relationships with these people.
Yes.
And the relationship suffers. For example, if it's two spouses, the children suffer.
Yes.
So in these kind of cases, we have to be very, very patient.
Yes.
There's only certain specific cases where you'd be like, you know, this has reached a limit where you know, you have to take a stand,
yes.
right? But generally, it's not the case.
That's
in
right.
normal circumstances, that's not the case.
Okay. And sometimes, for example, at the family level, yes, your rights are oppressed or violated by one family member, for example, between brothers and sisters or the parents and the children. But as you said, in Islam, we are recommended to be patient and also to forgive. I mean, this sense of forgiveness is very much important. Why? Because every day we are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this sense has to be as a believer towards the other fellow members of the society and the family too. But sometimes this zulm, you know, is really serious. For example, one country attacking another, killing so many innocent people and children. What about that time?
So now, if it's a zulm at the level of society,
yes,
or if it's like a serious zulm, as you said, even to a person individually,
yes,
then the right attitude would be that you take a stance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about society first.
Yes.
So if there is a zulm happening in society and a person sees that okay, one party is oppressing another party, these kind of circumstances, then perhaps it's the right thing to do is to step in, right? Nahi al munkar, it's wajib. Yeah.
Yes.
And this would be one of the instances where you step in and you say that, okay, this is oppression that's happening. I can't let that happen.
Yes.
Right? Because if a society is such that nobody stands up for each other's rights, then the oppression and the zulm will continue and it'll become more and more and more. So you have to step in. And even if it's a personal zulm, right? So if somebody personally does that to you, if you know that if you step in and say something, it'll have an effect on that person, then perhaps the right idea to do that.
Yes.
To do take a stance to the level that, you know, they stop doing what they're doing and they don't commit the sin anymore.
That's right.
In the right way, in the right manner. So definitely there are circumstances where a person has to take a stand, stand up. Now, when a country attacks another country, right, then, you know, like all, you know, a lot of other ahkam, other laws, they come into play as well. Defending Muslims, defending the Muslim country becomes wajib upon a certain number of people. Wajib kifayah, as they say. So then, you know, that's a clear case of when a person has to take a stand. They have to stop this oppression, stop this aggression from happening. And take a stand, as you know, as we see in the world right now, the Palestinians are doing against the Israelis. That is, you know, something that is wajib. That's something that's necessary for them to do.
This is the greatest zulm that is happening nowadays in the world. Consider that, for example, every day bombarding the innocent families. Because the people who are not even militants, you know, killing children. Attacking hospitals, attacking schools, attacking universities, you know. And this is the greatest zulm that the Israelis are doing nowadays to the people of Palestine. From outside, it's easy to talk about. But when you're in the scene, it's really difficult to forgive.
It
Does
is.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recommend to forgive in such cases too or not?
So the zulm that is happening, it's unimaginable. Like, as you said, we sitting outside here, it's difficult for us to imagine what our brothers and sisters in Palestine are facing.
Yes.
And even if you look at, you know, the history, if you look at recent history, even past history, something of this level of oppression, you know, clear, blatant, you know, murder of innocent children,
that's right.
Women, you know, you don't see it like this, right? It's unimaginable.
Especially even, with the media coverage and the footage that is out now, for example, on the social media, TV,
it's
every
very
day,
very
you could
painful.
See the people could see the instances of zulm and the cruelty. That's right.
But even over here, if the other side was such that they recognize that what they have done was wrong, they try to make up for it. They try to, you know, make amends for it. And they truly come back and they truly come towards Allah and they truly come and ask for forgiveness from these people, then I think the right thing would be to forgive them, right? The clear example is, you know, before us of Hur during Imam Hussein's time. He oppressed Imam Hussein. There's no doubt about that. He stopped him from going. But he came back. He said, you know, is there forgiveness for me? Right? And Imam Hussein accepted him right away.
Imam Hussein said, I myself will be your guarantee. I myself will guarantee you. See how my sense of forgiveness is beautiful.
So this is what a believer is like. The believer, his heart is very, very big. It's you know, if somebody, even if they wrong them to such an extent, if they truly become believers, their brothers and sisters in faith, they ask for forgiveness, then the believer's heart is such that, you know.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Praise to Allah, all glories to Allah. We worship Allah and no one but Allah.
At the social level, we could find it in Islamic penalties or, for example, Islamic punishment law. that, for example, if somebody has killed another one and the qisas is necessarily must be done according to the Islamic obligations, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we can say the ulama and the Islamic teachings in general, have taught us to forgive the person who does so. And this case happens very much. For example, in the courts, the judge says that, okay, that's right, death penalty is for the killer. And up to the morning that he is going on the to be executed, you know, he does not know that he can be forgiven. And the family, by a chance, forgives
right.
the person and the killer, and this guy is now free again. He's given a second chance to live again.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, a big, big soul and heart is needed, you know,
right.
in such cases, mm-hmm. especially when you lose a dear one in right. your family or society.
Definitely, definitely, that's true. But I think it has to also be a person who, or people who are seeking forgiveness as well.
Uh-huh. Right?
Because I think the laws of Islam have, you know, reason and hikmat and yes. wisdom behind them as well.
Yes.
And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, okay, such a person is to be, you know, the capital punishment is there for them, then there is wisdom in that too, mm-hmm. right? Now, if they are such a person that they are willing to change their ways and they made a mistake,
yes.
then perhaps, you know, the
they
family
regret.
Can forgive. Yeah. But if somebody who's, you know, a criminal,
yes.
somebody who will go back and kill more people,
mm-hmm.
right, then perhaps they don't deserve to be, mm-hmm. You know, forgiven for
they
that.
They are incessant and insistent on doing their crime and sin again.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Right.
Maybe, as you said, the best example of forgiveness is Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, when he was being killed and beheaded. Even, for example, they say when Shemer was on his chest, he was guiding him into the right path.
Right.
I will forgive you. Allah will forgive you. Do this, do that. Up to the last moment of the life, he says, Islah ummat. What does he mean by Islah ummah? I mean, the correction right. of the society, mm-hmm. you know. So when I forgive you, when Allah forgives you, the society will gradually will be mm-hmm. corrected.
So what we see with the imam is his concern for the people.
Yes.
Right? That the people, they go to heaven, that they
yes.
fix themselves.
Yes.
And it's not a personal grudge that he has against them, right? And we as followers of the imam as well, we're supposed to become like that we, you know, what we care about is the people themselves, that
yes.
they become better people.
Yes.
And our personal grudges, personal, you know, yeah. harms that have reached us, try to overlook them for the
yes.
sake of, you know, the person becoming better. And
especially in today's world, that the people are very much busy with these modern movements, industrialized world, busy 24 hours around the clock, working from morning up to night, you know. There is no empty place for forgiving, you know, and sometimes we see that the people in the society, for example, just in a taxi, just giving from one place A to place Z, they do not forgive each other, you know, and how much they are becoming robotic every day because the robot does not understand the sense of forgiveness.
So lives are so busy
yeah.
that it you know, everyone's on the edge, right?
Uh-huh.
Everyone is like, you know, it's difficult for them to think beyond that
yes.
and because they're just so busy and stressed
yes.
with life. So yes, we have to, like, you know, step back a bit and you know, be more calm.
Yes.
That's for sure. Also, just one story came to mind of Shahid Ibrahim Hadi.
Yes.
Because you're talking about, you know, how, you know, forgiveness and being
yes.
kind to people, it helps them. So there was a story of him where they have a prisoner of war, an Iraqi prisoner of war,
yes.
who, you know, was fighting against them, and, you know, perhaps he even killed, you know, the Iranians. And so we can see how some of the soldiers might have a grudge against such a person. But Ibrahim Hadi, he shows kindness to them. And that person turns out to be a Shia. And that
yes.
person, you know,
mm-hmm.
changes sides, comes on the Iranian side, becomes
yes.
one of the Shuhada,
yes.
right? So you see that just an act of kindness, looking
yes.
over the, you know, the faults of a person, it helps them become a better person and inshallah takes them to heaven.
Yes,
right?
The behavior of a righteous person and forgiving the others. There are so many lessons in that. As you said, it can guide the people to the right path. Maybe one small action of a forgiving person works more than 1,000 members. Okay?
For sure.
The practical, you know, scene of the society, for example, you do something bad to me and I kiss you. I kiss your face. Or for example, I shake hands with you. Or I calm you down. Okay? So even you did something bad to me, I calm you down. Okay, brother, let's calm down. Let's sit down. Let's have a chit-chat. What's your problem?
Right.
And then you see how much effective such a behavior will be in the society. Such a person learns, and then he will repeat it in the similar cases that will happen to him in the society.
Well, definitely. What we learn from seeing other people, seeing the scholars, our teachers, or even you know believers themselves, it has a more profound effect on us than hearing the words. That's for sure.
We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this great zulm, that is this cruelty which is done to the people of Palestine, is finished. You know, so many people lose their lives. And this shuhada, they have this forgiving sense. But there is also a great, great, serious chastisement awaiting the people who does oppression, both in this world and hereafter. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you very much, Sayyid Zain, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic. It was very kind of you, and thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page, see another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. See another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ نَهْرًا مِنْ لَبَنِ عَلِيٍّ وَحُسَيْنٍ وَحَسَنٍ لِعَلِيٍّ وَحُسَيْنٍ وَحَسَنٍ إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ نَهْرًا مِنْ لَبَنٍ إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ نَهْرًا مِنْ لَبَنٍ لِعَلِيٍّ حسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن